Today we're going to finish Peis Alei Halacha Vav. We've been talking about the two different opinions as to whether which size of insects are mutter or aser. The stricter approach, just to summarize, the stricter approach said that an insect that you could see with the naked eye is aser, even if the only way to identify it is through some kind of magnification. If you eat it without realizing it, you'd be considered an oinus, because there's no way for you to know about it, but it would be a midas chasidus for you to have an expert or become an expert to teach you how to get rid of such insects. And the Mekirim hold that if you can't see it, then it's not usher, and you don't have to do anything about it to avoid it. It's not usher at all. So last time we gave some, the first time we talked about the generalities, the second time we spoke about some examples and some of the direct proofs, and this time we're going to move to some indirect proofs, an indirect proof, and some details about the Mekirim. Okay, the reason to be Makel, whichever way you're going to say, the reason to be Makel for grade C and grade D insects, the way we described them last time, boils down to what we call things that a person can't possibly avoid. Is not something that's usher. The Hashem is not trying to trick us. Like the Gemara would say, Anakot Zeruchu Baba Trinu B'Yosef. So if a person's going to always end up being an oinus, then that means his Hashem didn't mean to usher. So we're going to look at a number of cases where the Gemara uses that rule called Nitna Torah Malachi Asharis to see if it can shed any light on what we're trying to discuss. Here are four places where the Gemara uses Nitna Torah Malachi Asharis to make a psak halacha based on that. Okay, the first is the Gemara Bracha says that Chaf Hamid Beis, that Abaye holds that it's also to daven without Keva Roya Se'erva. Meaning, even if any part of your body is Roya, your Erva, you're not allowed to daven. And Rava says that, in theory, that would make sense. It should be Aser. But, Le'nit Natarim Ha'chei Asharis, and therefore it's Mutter. Which is to say, it's so difficult to avoid being a Keva Roya Se'erva, that must be the Baruch Shalom never Asered that in the first place. So, in this case, Rava seems to be saying that there's no Isra at all to daven like that. And none of the poskim say, in fact, we pass on the Grava, no one says that it's better to wear underwear, to wear something that would make it not even like Kevaroi Se'erva. We just say it's a Kevaroi Se'erva is mutter. It's a Din Shulchan Aruch in Simen Ayin Dalad Halacha Hei. So if Rava is saying is that he was thinking about, is it Usher at all? And Lenit Natara tells us that it's not Usher at all. Not that it's Usher, but it's better to avoid it, or that you're an Oinus, but that it's not Usher at all. Or, to say this differently, Abaye held that it was a Kever is Ever's Aser. So that means it's Abaye davened every single day. So what did Abaye do? He did something to avoid a Kever is Ever. So whatever Abaye did, according to Rava, that was too much. That wasn't what a regular person is expected to do. And therefore, Rava, the Gemara doesn't say that Rava did that Midas Chatzis, I guess it doesn't say that he didn't do it, but no one is saying that you have to do that Midas Chasidus. Whatever Abaye did, that was considered too much. Rava didn't do that. So this gives us, in this case, Lenit Natari is telling us, it seems to be telling us that something is completely mutter. Not that you're an oinus if you didn't do it, but that it's completely mutter. Okay. Next is the Gemara Newman, the Flamen of Ralph says that a person can say a Davish of a Kedusha, they're allowed to say, learn or daven, even if this Tzoy B'Piyat Tabas. Tzoy is in a place where, and the Gemara explains, in a place where it's in the person's body, in a place where it's not possible to see no matter what they do, it's not possible to see. The Gemara says that it might theoretically have been usher, but it's mutter because it's not possible for you to know better, therefore it's mutter. Okay? In that case, if it would be that some kind of a midas chasidus to not do this, then it would be impossible to daven. There would be no way to daven, because how would anybody ever know that this tzoyu b'piyat tabas, if it's not possible physically for anybody to possibly see it? So in that case also, it must be that the term means that the thing is completely mutter, not that it's you're an oinus if you did it. I mean, how could it be midas chasidus? How could the Baruch Hu want you to not do that when the thing is, it's impossible to know that? Okay, but this is that's a very extreme case, because it's the whole point of it is that it's not possible for someone to know about it. Okay, next Gemara, in Kedushin Daf Nundal Manal, says, basically, that it's Me'ilah for a Kohen, for someone to wear Big Day Kahuna, except when they're doing the Avodah. The Gemara says that, according, it would make sense, in theory, it should make sense, that Kehanim, as soon as they finished the Avodah,
should have to rip off their big kahuna, because if anything time that they're wearing it after the avoid is over, they're being moiled by wearing those big kahunas. So then the Gemara makes 2 points that connects to each other. The first is, it's not possible for the Kohen to take off their big kahuna the second that they finish their avoida. And the Mela, it must be that it's not Me'ila if the Kohen wears his clothes a little extra. Then the Gemara says a second thing that connects a second thing to it, which is that if somebody, B'shoyei, was Makadish, a lady, with big kahuna, it's not Me'ila that he did it, because there's no Me'ila with big kahuna B'shoyei. Okay, that's the Gemara's second point is. Now, we could ask an obvious question. What's the connection between the second point and the first point? In the first point, we said, you have no choice. If I finish that void at 10 o'clock, I can't get it off by 10 o'clock and 1 second later. I have to give me a few minutes to get it off. So I have no choice. So then that's what I'm allowed to do. What is it to do with being Makadosh a lady? No one's forcing you to be Makadosh a lady with this big kahuna. So over there, there should very much be Me'ila. So, presumably, that's what makes Rashi say, that Rashi says over there, that because, the people who are Makadish to Big Tikkun, those people make a condition that I'm being Makadish, this material has Kedusha to it, but not for someone who uses it by mistake. If someone uses it by mistake, I would not Makadish it. Therefore, when the fact that the Kohen can wear the clothes for a little bit extra time, that forces the person to make a condition in his original Kedusha, and therefore the person who used them to be Mekadosh a lady is not being over on Bila. Okay, so that's what Rashi says. Rashi is answering the question. What does the second thing that the Gemara have to do with the first one? But Hagufa, how does the Gemara know that's true? Maybe the Kohen can wear it because he has no choice. The Kohen has no choice but to wear his kahuna, big kahuna for a little extra because of Nit Matera. But maybe people don't make a condition. Okay? So that setup gives the impression that Nit Matera is really just an oinus. Really, you're not supposed to do it, and doing it is just an oinus. And it's a Midas Chasidus to do something to prevent it. So Mamela, since it's a Midas Chasidus to avoid it, therefore, when people are Makdish, yarn for the Beis HaMikdash, they have in mind not to make it Hekdish for cases of Shagig, because if it is a Midas Chasidus to not use it, I'm going to try to help that person do his Midas Chasidus. So if he does it, if he waits for too long, he'll be in this. But I have a way of helping him, so the way I help him is to be Makdish it with this kind of condition that's not B'shoyeg. And the Mela point B follows that if you're Makadish lady B'shoyeg with Big Dikhun, there's no Mela. Okay? So that would give the impression that the Torah is it's not Mutter, really, it's Asr. But you're an oinus, and you have a means chassidus to avoid it. Okay? But it could be that the truth is that this whole line of reasoning is incorrect, because the fact that there's a way to avoid being over on Me'ila for wearing a big kahuna for a few extra minutes, which is, there is a way to avoid it. You could make the head dish with this condition in it, and the condition can say is, I'm making condition that the head dish is not chal for people who use it for shagig. That in itself takes off the limit of Torah. Because the limit of Torah is, it's not possible to get it off right away. Yes, it is. It's possible to never wear it extra by being makdish in such a way that the kedusha doesn't last for cases of shagig. So now there's all of a sudden a reasonable way to avoid the issur without being a malach yasharis, just for a regular person. Avoid the issur is not by ripping it off. The way to avoid the issur is by doing something to the kedusha originally. Memela. Now everybody has to do that. What Nit Matar would say is, if we had no choice, you'd be able to wear it for a few extra minutes. But now there really is a choice, because the choice is be makdish it in a special way. So in essence, we're going to end up with no right from this case. Okay. A similar thing. The Gemara says in the Ila, Daf Yudal base. The Gemara says that when you build the Beis HaMikdash, they do it in chol, meaning without kedusha. The places where they're building it. And the reason is because the workers are human, and Mamela, they're going to end up sitting down on something for a minute, and they're going to be moil and hektish. So Mamela, in order to avoid Me'ila, we build the Beis HaMikdash b'chol. The Gemara, I don't think the Gemara uses the words Lenit and Torah, but that's the point. It's not possible for the workers to never sit on a brick or do something while they're working. So Mamela, they built the Beis HaMikdash without kedusha. Okay? Now, in this Gemara, it doesn't say that we build the Beis HaMikdash in the Kedusha the way it would seem like you're supposed to want to do it, And if they do it, that's okay. Don't worry if they sit down on something because no. Fat, it says the opposite. It says we avoid the problem of having people sit down on things by building base mizbuchol, and really that's exactly what we said in the Gemara Kedushin. There is a potential iser, which is in this case the potential iser is to sit on the bricks of Hegdish. In the other case, the potential iser was to wear the big tikkunah for too long. If there would be no other choices, we would say, there's no way to avoid the sister, so it's okay, you're allowed to do it. But it turns out that there really is a way to do it. In this case, the way to do it is by letting them build the Beis Hamikdash without Kedusha. In the case of Me'ilah, it's a similar thing. Be Makdish the wool in a way that says it's only Kaddish, it doesn't have Kedusha if somebody uses it by mistake. So in both cases, there's a condition to making it. There's a way to structure it so that you can avoid the problem, but if you would have gotten into it, if there wouldn't be this way, this condition to make, it would turn out that there would be sort of a line in the Torah, and so to speak, it would be mutter. Okay? And related to that is, that might be, it negates the question of whether a person is ever on Bal Yiro. What happens if a person checks their house for chametz, they did a thorough job, and they missed something. Okay, they did a good job and they missed something. So Tosfos says in Pesachim, Chafal Vamdal, says that there's no Isra Bal Yiro, because Bal Yiro means you can't, the Torah uses the word Yeroed, don't see it, I'm sorry, Bal Yimotze, don't find it, because it only means to ask for chametz which you can find, which it's findable. If you did a reasonable effort and you couldn't find it, you did a thorough job and you weren't able to find it, that's not there's no Bayi Matze on that at all. And others say, it's a Magen Avraham in Tav Lamed Daled, in the Taz of there also, the Magen Avraham says that the person is Eifer on Bayi Yiroh for that Chametz, but it's Bishag. This has to do with the Gemara that Vavon Beis and Pesachim, that's Mashma, that you're not Eifer on Bayi Yiroh. If you shem yim to gus giyofer, you'll be over only when you find it, not before. And Tosfos is taking that more literally. Magen Avraham says, no, you're over b'shegi. So over there, it could be that the reason why the person's over on Bayira, even though he did every effort to find it, so you say, what do you want from the guy's life? What could he do? He couldn't have done anything more because he did everything he could to try to find it. We don't say, learn it the Torah, he did as much as he could. And the reason there is, this is sort of from Iran, that the Iran says is, the person has an option. He could have been Mevatel the Chametz, but being Mevatel the Chametz is an easy way to avoid the Isser without, and you know, with, for sure that you didn't learn over on the Isser, so it could be that the reason why you're ever on Bal Yiroh is not because we say is you should have tried harder. I did as much as I could. I did a reasonable effort. That's what I have to do. But since I have an option, in this case to do Bittul, and in the case before to make special conditions in my Hekdesh, therefore the person is not over on. Therefore, you would be over if you don't take that step, because that's a reasonable step. Okay, now I said the Ran, it's really the Ran uses this svaras to say sort of exactly the opposite. But the point of it is that there is a way to such a musad that a person could, we might say to a person, you have a way to get around the Isser, you have a way to structure it in a different way, and therefore, if he didn't do it that way, he would be over, even though in theory there's a limit in the term. Okay, so we don't have any clear riots from these Gemaras as to whether one Nitna Torah makes the person, whether it's Mutter or it's Usher, but you're just an Einus. But after hearing all these cases, it seems that we could come up with the following logic. Okay, again, it's not that the Gemara says these things, but just from hearing these different cases, the following logic makes sense to it. And like this. If you have a question whether something is Mutter or Usher, a specific thing, is that thing Mutter or Usher, and one Nitna Torah plays a role to it, then like Nitna Torah tells you, it's mutter. For example, a kevareya se'evra, or tzoy b'piyat tabas. Is that mutter or asr? Is that a heter or an isser? So we say, like Nitna Torah tells us, it's mutter, because it can't be that it's asr, because how would we be expected to avoid that thing? So then the logic tells us that the Rabbanu Shlom didn't have in mind that we should avoid that isser at all. However, what happens if we have something that's for sure asr? The thing is asr. The question is whether in this application of the Isser, does it apply or not? Then, in that case, we're going to say, well, Nitna Torah is not going to tell us that it's going to tell us, the thing is Usher. This application, well, Nitna Torah is not going to tell us that it's Mutter, because really this thing is Usher. Just in this application, I'm not going to be held responsible. I'm not going to say in this application it's Mutter. So, for example, it's Usher to have Hanah from Big Day Kahuna. That's for sure. That's not a question that's also to have on, but that's universal. That's the dinners. But if you have a question in a specific application, should the Kahanim rip off their clothes right after they finish the Avodah, or are they allowed to take a few minutes to get them off And that application, we said, we make the Torah to tell us that they could be makel and not take the clothes off. Run, take the clothes off that second. So in that application of the Isser, then in the logic says that Lenit Natura would only tell us to, Lenit Natura tells us to, that in this application, you're an Einus. In this application, you're not held responsible for what you did. But not to say that, not Usher, because Usher, it's a general thing. Is it Usher to have Me'ilah and Big Dikun? Of course it's Usher to have Big, to have, it, of course there's an Isser Me'ilah. So it's just telling this application to not say it, that would tell us that you're an Einus, which, if we follow that through, means that it's therefore means chassidus to try to avoid that oneness. If you know, if you did whatever you could reasonably possible, if you have a way to avoid it, you should avoid it. Okay, if that would be true, here we come to a conclusion. If that would be true, if this logic that I just said is true, then what happens in the case of insects? In insects, we would have to be machmir. In the case of a small insect, the insect was once, we're talking about an insect, at least in one of the cases, is an insect, a grade C insect, it was once identifiable. It was once walking around. So this insect was something that the Rav Shlomo had in mind to make usher. That's the general rule, is that this insect is usher. Now we have a specific application. Now it became immobile or lost its legs. It's in a way that you can't tell that the thing is the insect anymore. In that case, when the Torah tells me, I'm not going to be held responsible for eating this, because what am I supposed to do? How could I possibly know that it's there? But not that when the Torah is going to tell me that it's mutter, when the Torah would be telling us that it's just an oinus on that case, which, and then the next step of that is, of course, if it's just an oinus, then the potential means chassidus is to say, I have a way of avoiding it, someone could teach me, or I could do some special method beyond what I'm required to do, that would be then a positive thing to get rid of that bug. Okay? So, according to that, this sword that we're ending off with, we have one last piece to do, but before, with that sword that we're ending off with, it's going to come out that the machmir are right. Okay, again, to recap, we know that we have plenty of there were many who are makel, but this would be the svara to say is Lenitna Torah sometimes can tell us that something is completely mutter, but in certain cases it doesn't tell us that it's mutter, it tells us that you're not responsible, but if you do it, then if you have a way of avoiding it, that would be a good thing. Now, within the Mekilim, now we're going to wind down with just some details on the Mekilim. The Mekilim are basically telling us that there's a limit to how much a person is mechuyev to do. That the Torah tells us to avoid Isurim, there's a limit to how much you're mechuyev to do. And to say I have to check, let's see, with a microscope, with magnification, that I'm not mechuyev to do. And there's a support to that from the Gemara Chulin on the Nunvavim base. The Gemara says that there's a certain test. You could cook meat in part of the meat in a certain way to tell if the animals are trefa. Okay. You could test certain organs through this cooking method. And the Gemara says, so you should do it. The Gemara first thought you should do it. The Gemara says, no, chzukei reyusalem achzakinan, and that you can eat the meat without doing this test. Okay? And the implication is that there's a limit to how much a person is mechuyev to do. So for whatever reason, in that case, you're not mechuyev to go that many steps. And that's along the lines of what we're saying. There might be things you're not mechuyev to go to certain steps. Of course, one could easily argue on that and say that there's no riot from that point, from that case, because maybe such a trafus is so rare that even if it's efshel avara, you're not mechuyev to do it. So the Gemara is not saying don't do it because it's such a difficult test, or it's beyond what a person is mechuyev to do, but because it's just not an amin amatzi. It's just so rare, that condition is so rare that you're not mechuyev to do it. Okay, now, to summarize the Mekilim have one strong argument in their favor, and then on the opposite there they have a question. Okay, so there's two parts to them. The first is, what's in their favor is, it's hard for us to accept that people are eating tiny bugs. They're not going to be responsible for them, but they're eating Isurim all the time. It's hard to accept that the Rosh Hashanah is giving us a challenge that you can't succeed at. He's saying, don't eat bugs. And all these kind of bugs are usher, yet he's throwing bugs at us that are not possible for us to avoid. We had nothing that we could do to get away from them. So, I understand we're not going to be held responsible for it, but it's hard to accept that the grade C and D bugs are usher, and that we're being led into eating them. It's sort of like a hashkafa question that we should be led in, rather indicates that no, they're not usher at all. Okay, that's a reason to believe that they're mutter. On the other hand, how could it be that a bug that was today it's usher, tomorrow becomes mutter? Today it's usher, it's walking across the table, it's usher. As soon as he drops dead, or he gets immobilized, or someone squishes it, all of a sudden it becomes mutter. That's hard to how could it be? So to answer that question, just to put in perspective, not to really answer, but just to put in perspective is, why are bugs usher in the first place? Bugs are not usher across the board. All bugs are not usher. We saw way back when in Halacha Aleph that bugs that are in the water are not usher until they leave their habitat. Each bug has a special dinim. Some is its mutter, some is its usher. So the Bernstein is the one who makes up, if I could use the word, makes up the rules and says, these bugs are mutter, these bugs are usher. The same bug could be mutter today and then become usher tomorrow. So here we're saying the opposite. Here it's going from being usher to being mutter, which of course is, if I could use the word, more challenging. But Lamais is, the bug per se is not what's mutter or usher. What the Bernstein decides is mutter or usher. And so therefore, it's within reason to say that the bug is usher. It's possible to say the bug is usher, and that at a later time the bug becomes mutter. Okay, that's within reason. Okay. And Rabbi Lubin wrote an article in the 23rd volume from the Sefer, but he also gave me an expanded version of other details that are not in there. He's writing about whether a person, after the Munsi, Maisa, about the meat in Munsi, he wrote about what happens to the people, if the people who ate meat, because this Eidachon, who at that point was an Eidachon Em Bisurin, told them that they could eat the meat, is it Timtum Aleim? What was the effect on them? Because they did what the Torah told them. The Torah told them they should trust the person, and they did. So the question that he told is a very long, very good article about this whole topic. Okay? And he says the following. Now, as I say it, I'm going to tell you that he brings many who argue what he's about to say. But here's a few things that he says. He says, in the Sivis, in the Tshuva, says, the Tshuva is printed in the Chemda Shlomoy, in Eben Ezra Chof Dalet, it's Ois Yud Aleph, if anyone wants to look it up, says that if a person makes a dion based on Roiv, and based on Roiv something is mutter, that makes it that since in Roiv said that it's mutter, therefore the thing becomes mutter. Even if in truth it was from the Mir, it was from the Mir that was usher, since I followed the din said, go bust a Roiv, then not that I'm allowed to eat it, but the thing becomes heter. Okay, also, the Rosh says in Chulin, the seventh parak, that if you have one piece of Isser falls into two pieces of Heter, and it's bought the Baroiv, it's not that there's one piece of Isser still floating around, but that the Isser becomes Heter, and you can even eat all three pieces simultaneously, because there's no Isser anymore. Okay, in Chassam Sefer, this is in Torah of Reish Chof Dalet, on the Ramon, Shechon Aruch, says that if a person is a Roiv, and he has a meat, and it's a question whether it's mutter or usher, and he follows the roiv and he eats it, and there's no way he could have been mevara the roiv, so he did what he was supposed to do, which is he ate it based on the roiv, and it turns out that it was from the meat, then the person was not over in Yisurim, because he just followed the Torah's rules. He followed the Torah's rules to do what he was supposed to do, so he wasn't over in Isser in our way of saying it. It wasn't an onus on the Isser, but he did what the Torah says. He wasn't over in Isser at all, and this is the explanation for why people don't have any second doubts about eating meat or drinking milk or eating eggs. Even though all those things come from animals that could be traitors. There's less than a meat in hamatzah, and actually in some of those things it's more than a meat in hamatzah, it looks like eating or drinking milk, because we know that more than 10% of cows are traitors. But we follow the roiv, and the din is you follow the roiv. You don't say anybody say, oh no, I won't drink milk for this reason. There are other reasons not to, but say, I won't drink milk because 20% of the animals are trafers. So what if 20% of the animals are trafers? I follow the roiv, I'm allowed to eat it. We don't say, wait a second, that means once out of every 5 days, I'm eating a big over this, and maybe it's a meat of chasidus. We don't say that, because we say, once the din is to follow the roiv, I'm allowed to follow the roiv, and it's mutter. It's not that I'm an oinus, it's mutter. Okay, so anyhow, just to summarize what we've been going through for the past, this is our third time, we're now finishing up the shir, is there's two questions as to whether, two opinions as to whether small insects are mutter or usher. There are a whole number of practical applications to the shiloh. It's not just a theoretical question. When we thought about it, it came out that it was hard to accept that the machmirim hold that it's usher min hadin, but rather that the machmirim are saying that if I eat this thing without knowing about it, it's, I'll be an onus on it, and therefore will be a commendable midas chasidus to avoid it, and that's so the machmirim are not saying usher, but are saying midas chasidus to avoid this thing. That's how we understood it. Each of the sides of this bring try to bring rayas to their shitas. We went through many rayas. We didn't find anything terribly convincing. There were indications this way and that way, but we didn't find anything tremendously convincing. And as usual, when you're thinking about such a shayla, this is a very serious shayla, the Rav HaMachshir, or the person making this decision, has got to hear these, listen to these different stadim, listen to the names at the very beginning. We mentioned different poskim who held different ways on this shayla, and make a decision. Thank you.